scripture reading this morning will come from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Thank you, Brother Greg, for that reading from the book of Hebrews. Thank you for being in our assembly today to worship God. I appreciate certainly the prayer offered on my behalf to be able to stand before you and relate to you some things that I've studied from the Word of God. It's a blessing to be able to do that. And I appreciate so very much your support in that effort. I direct your attention today to a phrase in this section of Scripture, but we don't want to just stay right in Hebrews chapter 3. I want to use the phrase to bring to your remembrance something that we studied from the Old Testament about Pharaoh. I've entitled my lesson this morning, "You Don't Want What Pharaoh Had." The Hebrew writer warned about brethren developing an unbelieving heart and becoming hardened by sin. You and I like to take advantage of warnings from the Scriptures, don't we? They provide danger signals for us. Don't walk down this path. Don't take these steps, because we can be overthrown spiritually by so doing. This warning from the Hebrew writer comes right in the middle of two warnings against following the poor example of the Israelites. Warnings in verses 7 through 8. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. And then followed by verse 15. Today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. And the example of the Israelites hardening their hearts serves as an example for us. The Israelites also had an example that they should have learned from, the example of Pharaoh of Egypt. In this lesson, we'll focus on the example of Pharaoh and how his heart became hardened. And in considering this, we will hopefully recognize that we need to take steps to make sure we don't go down the same path that Pharaoh went down in the hardening of the heart. Pharaoh's heart became hard. We are told several different times in the book of Exodus, and we'll make reference to some of those passages as we go through here and consider the points of our lesson today. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened because he did not acknowledge God as the Lord. Consider the conversation when Moses first came to Pharaoh in Exodus 5, verses 1 and 2. Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, and notice this very carefully, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. Besides, I will not let Israel go." Since Pharaoh didn't recognize God as the Lord, he felt no need to obey any instructions that God might send his way through the voice of Moses and Aaron. Consider what the Bible says happens to those who do not acknowledge God. Paul wrote of that in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 when he said, "Here are some people who, even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God, and they did not give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." These became empty or fruitless in their mental reflections and in their reasoning. They did not use their minds as God intended their minds to be used, to see His great power and to appreciate His wonderful intelligence. When truth is denied, there's nothing to replace that with but moral blackness, with no light to direct one in the right way. Passages like Psalms 119 and verse 105 shows that to be the case. Also, John wrote about in his gospel in chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. Light came into the world through Jesus Christ, spiritual light. Pharaoh's heart became hardened because Pharaoh did not acknowledge God as the Lord. We should be prompted to acknowledge God as the Lord today, if for no other reason, to prevent our hearts from becoming hardened due to the deceitfulness of sin. Secondly, Pharaoh embraced counterfeits. When Moses began performing signs, the magicians of Egypt copied them with their secret arts. We are told in Exodus 7, beginning in verse 10, Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh, and thus they did, just as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron threw his staff down before Pharaoh and his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called for the wise men and the sorcerers, and they also, the magicians of Egypt, did the same with their secret arts. For each one threw down his staff, and they turned into serpents. But Aaron's staff swallowed up their staffs. Yet Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, just as the Lord had said. In Exodus 7:22, the magicians of Egypt did the same with their secret arts, and Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had said. In Exodus 8 and verse 7, the magicians did the same with their secret arts, making frogs come up out of the land of Egypt. The secret arts of the magicians of Egypt were not the same signs as was directed by the Lord God, but they were close enough to convince Pharaoh or to give Pharaoh some ammunition that he might deny the command given to him through Moses and Aaron that the Lord God gave. Many today embrace different or inferior gospels with the same hardness of heart. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, Paul warned the Galatians and said, "I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is not really another. Only there are some that are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." Through perverted gospels today, men introduce their own recreational churches in our society as opposed to the one that the Lord promised to build in Matthew 16 and verse 18. Men introduce their own convenient plans of salvation, not the plan of salvation that the Lord gave the apostles to preach to men in the first century, that men should believe on Christ and be baptized for the remission of sins, as in Mark 16 and verse 16 or Acts 2 and verse 38. Men today have introduced their own entertainment worship styles as an effort to worship and serve God, but do so according to a different gospel. Because Jesus himself commanded all men that they should not introduce human laws and human commandments. In doing so, they worship God in vain, Jesus said in Matthew 15 and verse 9. So the warning is even for us today not to introduce different or inferior gospels, but to take the gospel of Christ as it is given. Pharaoh embraced counterfeits. Men of our day embrace counterfeits. We are warned not to do that. It hardens our hearts when we do. Thirdly, Pharaoh focused on what obedience to God would cost him. What will obeying this command cost me? Letting the people go would mean losing a great workforce. And he couldn't get his mighty structures built. Exodus chapter 5, beginning in verse 4, the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you draw the people away from their work? Get back to your labors." Again, Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are many, and you would have them cease from their labors. Do you see what Pharaoh was focused on? The labors of these people, the structures they're building, how magnificent they're going to be and what a glory they will bring to me. That was the wrong focus for Pharaoh to have. And even though the plagues of the land devastated the land, so much so that in Exodus 10 and verse 7, Pharaoh's servant said to him, "Do you not realize that Egypt is destroyed?" And yet Pharaoh was focused on other things, only on what he would lose. Now today, we must be willing to give up things to follow Christ. And we must not allow our primary focus in life to be anything other than, first, the kingdom of God, Matthew 6 and verse 33. That is what we are to seek first. And allow all other things to have a lower priority in our lives. In Philippians 3, beginning in verse 7, the Apostle Paul gives us a great example to follow in himself. When he said, "Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ." He was interested in serving Christ. He didn't give those things up just so he could brag about it, but he gave them up for the sake of Christ, in order to serve Christ. He said, "More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, that I may gain Christ." There is an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison with temporal things of this world in Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8, and that really makes sacrifice for Christ very much worth it. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 through 18. This truth is difficult to see when we focus only on things that are physical, only on things that are temporal, the temporary things of this life that can so easily distract us, as in Matthew 19, 21 through 22, such as possessions and much property that the rich young ruler obtained in his life. Pharaoh focused on what obedience would cost him, not the results of obedience to God. His heart was hardened. Our hearts can be hardened in the same way. Pharaoh developed a habit of sin. Pharaoh had several opportunities to let the people go, but he would only do so under compulsion, as the Lord revealed in Exodus 6 and verse 1, when the Lord said to Moses, "Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion he will let them go, and under compulsion he will drive them out of his land." In other words, he'll be forced to do it. He won't want to do it of his own free will, but he's going to be forced to. Pharaoh developed a pattern of wrong behavior by refusing to listen to God's instructions through God's appointed representatives. Pharaoh hardened his own heart. For you and I, that stands as a pretty valuable lesson. We too can allow one sin into our lives to be bad for us, James 2 and verse 10. But habitual sin is especially dangerous because we lose a sense of shame. Jeremiah 6 and verse 15, we fall among those who fall. We become seared in the conscience as with a hot branding iron in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2. And the solution for all of that, of course, is to follow the heed, the instruction that Paul gives in Ephesians 5 and verse 15 when he says, "Be careful how you walk. Be careful how you walk. Because if you're not careful, your heart could be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and it was so because he developed a habit of sin in his life. Pharaoh's heart was also hardened because he misinterpreted God's goodness. There were times when Pharaoh said the people could go, but he changed his mind when the plague stopped. Notice from Exodus 8 and verse 15, when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them as the Lord had said. Exodus 9, verse 34, but when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. It wasn't exclusively Pharaoh who hardened his heart, but his servants as well. Today, you know, sadly, many do the same thing. In Romans chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, people see divine blessings as an excuse to ignore their responsibilities to obey God. Paul wrote of this, and he said, or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each person according to his deeds. Pharaoh misinterpreted God's goodness. Paul warns here in Romans 2 that we today could misinterpret God's goodness. We should learn of God's goodness and appreciate it appropriately so that our hearts will not be hardened, just as Pharaoh's was hardened. Pharaoh also thought that God's will could be changed. You know, there are many today that act like it's perfectly acceptable for any human being to come along and change what God said, and to change the practice of the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Many believe that today. In Pharaoh's day, God's will was very clear. In Exodus 5 and verse 1, Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, it's plain, let my people go that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. What's difficult to understand about that? The Lord says, let my people go. Let them go. That's pretty clear, isn't it? God's will is clear. But notice how Pharaoh tried to change God's instructions as time went on. In Exodus 8 and verse 25, Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron and he says, go sacrifice to your God, but within the land. Don't go out of the land. And Exodus 10, verse 10 and 11, notice how it changes again. Then he said to them, thus may the Lord be with you if I ever let you and your little ones go. Take heed, for evil is in your mind. Not so. Go now, the men among you, and serve the Lord. For that is what you desire. So they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Okay, if you don't want to stay within the boundaries of the land, only the men can go. But the rest of them have to stay. You see, there's a change. He's changing the will of God. And notice how he even changes it again in Exodus 10 and verse 24. When Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord. Go ahead, do it. Only let your flocks and your herds be detained. Even your little ones may go with you. Okay, you can take your children, but leave your flocks and your herds here. You see, he changes the will of the Lord again. You know, men do that today. In various ways, men change the will of the Lord. God's word is fixed. It is settled. We are told in Psalm 119 and verse 89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. But many become hardened to that and think that the word of the Lord is flexible, that we have an opportunity to worship God any way we want to today, that we have an opportunity to believe what we want to believe about the Word of God and reject portions that are not pleasant to us. We can't treat the Word of the Lord that way. The Word of the Lord is not changed by time. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1 and verse 25, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. It's something that is eternal. And this is the word which was preached to you, Peter goes on to say. The word of the Lord that does not change. That's what we preach to you, Peter told the people in his day. You know, we should echo that same message, shouldn't we? The word of the Lord is what is preached to you. That should be so. Among every group of believers in this country, sadly, it's not. Sadly, there are some places where the word of the Lord is not even looked at. And jokes are told and pleasant little stories about life and not Scripture at all. Sadly, it is that way. The word of the Lord is not changed by the culture that we live in. Paul taught the same thing in every church wherever he went. Whatever culture was existing in the city where he went. He didn't tweak the gospel. He didn't change portions of the truth to fit right in conveniently with the people of whatever town he went to. He taught the same thing in every church, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. The power to save is in the gospel, Romans 1 and verse 16. Not in a changed gospel to suit the culture in which we live. And the gospel is not changed by circumstances either, circumstances of life. The word of the Lord is fixed, and it's fixed forever. And that needs to be the message that's preached even today. And if this world stands 2,000 years from now, that's the same message that needs to be preached then. No matter what society or culture looks like 2,000 years from now, the gospel doesn't change. Pharaoh thought that God's will could be changed. And he thought he was the person that had the authority to do it. Even a king of a great country such as ancient Egypt of long ago doesn't have the authority to change God's word, does it? Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Pharaoh only saw God in bad times. At times, Pharaoh asked Moses to appeal to God on his behalf. Quite a bit different from what Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" Quite a bit different now, isn't it? Exodus 8 and verse 8, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat the Lord that he remove the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord." "If you just take this difficulty away, I'll give you what you want." But he didn't do it. In Exodus chapter 8 and verse 28, Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away." And then he said, "Make supplication for me." Notice where we are in Exodus 9, beginning in verse 27. Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron and said to them, now get this, Pharaoh says, "I have sinned this time." "I have sinned this time," Pharaoh said. "The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones. Make supplication to the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail. And I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer." But that didn't fix it, did it? Notice in Exodus 10, beginning in verse 16, Pharaoh, this time, hurriedly called for Moses and Aaron and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now, therefore, please forgive my sin only this once." You see, now it's gone from, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" It's gone from that to, "If you'll just remove the frogs from me, I'll let the people go." And then it goes to, "Make supplication for me." And then it goes to, "I'm the one who's guilty of sin, and the people are the wicked ones too." And now, it's, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you." Now he's asking for forgiveness. "Forgive my sin only this once, and make supplication to the Lord your God that he would only remove this death from me. Well, when all of these things were removed from Pharaoh, he went right back to his former position. I'll not let the people go. Why? Because he had a hard heart, that's why. You know, we need to remember God at all times in our lives. If we look at Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9, rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. Know that God will bring you into judgment for all these things. Remember God, yes, while you're a young man, while you're in your childhood. Have a pleasant life, but know that God will bring you into judgment. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. There are a lot of people that believe religion is for old folks, people ready for the grave. That's not so out of God's book. Nowhere in God's book is that message taught. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 14, in the day of prosperity be happy. But in the day of adversity, consider, God has made the one as well as the other. Remember God, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Ecclesiastes is full of admonitions like that. Forgetting God in good times is a dangerous position to be in, according to Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 10. And here's the warning that Moses wrote about a long time ago. And if I didn't tell you that Moses wrote this a long time ago and you didn't realize it came from the book of Deuteronomy, you might think it was describing something in America this year. Here's the warning that Moses wrote. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself, Moses warned. Watch yourself why? He tells that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall fear only the Lord your God. And you shall worship him and swear by his name. You shall not follow other gods, any of the gods of the peoples who surround you. For the Lord your God is in the midst of you, and he is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you off the face of the earth. What a powerful warning that is. For people who enjoy prosperity at the hand of the Lord, and because of that prosperity, allow it to harden their hearts, blind their eyes, and turn away from the one true living God. And that can happen. That's what Pharaoh did. That could happen in Old Testament times. It can happen to us today. We can become hardened. When our hearts become hardened, we fall away from God. That's why the Hebrew writer says in our text for today, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And notice that the Hebrew writer refers to that as a gradual process. In Hebrews 2 and verse 1, for this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. Drifting is a gradual process, isn't it? Many times we can recognize immediately a change from one thing to another drastic change. But the Hebrew writer warns that the hardening of the heart is not such a drastic change. It is a long process. It's a process that the writer calls drifting. It is a process that the Holy Spirit describes as drifting. Do not drift away from it. Notice that the hardening is a result of being deceived. We must know the truth of God and apply it to our lives in order to avoid such a hardening. We have to be on guard. Our hearts can become hardened without our even realizing it. Pharaoh is not one who stood up and said, I know I have a hard heart. I realize that. And it's getting harder all the time. Pharaoh never spoke those words. God revealed that condition about Pharaoh, and it's true because God said it. We do not want what Pharaoh had, do we? Pharaoh had a hard heart. We don't want that. We want a heart that will receive the Word of God and allow the fruit from receiving the Word of God to flow forth out of our hearts. The Word will not penetrate our hearts if they are hard. What about you today? How's your heart? Is your heart open to the Word of God? Do you receive the Word of God and allow it to enter your heart and produce much fruit for the glory of the Lord and the glory of His kingdom? I hope that you do. I certainly hope that you do. That's the way we live blessed lives before God. But if you're in our assembly and you're not a Christian, you need to think seriously about the condition of your heart. You need to allow the Word of God to penetrate your heart and to allow it to guide you and show you the way to walk in this life, to live the blessed life, the life of a Christian. We can help you with that today as a believer in Christ, one who repents of sins, and will be willing to confess Christ as the Son of God before this multitude, and will be willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of sins, that you may be born again and walk in newness of life. We can help you with that today. If we can, please come to the front and let me know. I'll take your hand to this pool of baptism behind me, give your heart to God. You can be a Christian this very day. Can we help you? If we can, please come to the front and let us know while we stand and encourage you by singing number 266.